Welcome to this edition of My Car Guru, the frigid guru today. And also, I am your car guru. And you may be saying, well, I didn't appoint you my car guru. Well, I am your car guru because I am accessible. Yes, you can get in touch with me anytime you want to. My cell phone number is, well, it will be announced towards the end of the show because I want you to listen to the rest of it. And we're going to be talking about a generational gap here, a generational issue regarding an accessory that a vast majority of young people add, I guess, to their car when they get a new car or truck or an SUV. You know what I'm talking about? Yes, that's right. Window tinting. And it is definitely, there is a definite generational divide when it, with regards to window tinting, and we're going to get into that. Matter of fact, I'm going to give you some examples of why people do it, why they tint their windows, and why you should maybe not do it, maybe why you should. So I'm going to cover both sides of it. I'm going to try to be impartial, even though my age kind of puts me on the don't do it side of the fence. But we'll talk about that here in just a second. But I did walk into my office this morning, and it was 63 degrees. Somebody had set my thermostat. Mine is in the hallway, so other people can tamper with it. But somebody set the temperature at 63 and on heat, and that wasn't hot enough. I mean, it's fine, you know, if you got a coat on and stuff. But once you sit down and try to work, and the girls kept coming into my office saying, "Who turned the temperature down?" Well, it wasn't me. It just wasn't set on auto. But now it is, and it's warmed up to about 70. So I'm feeling good in here. But it does make me think about some of the things that you should be thinking about as far as your car is concerned. What's your antifreeze protection level? Do you know? Are you protected all the way down to like sub-zero temperatures? If the temperatures do plummet below zero and you are not protected like you should be, then your block could freeze and crack. You know what that means? The engine block? That means you get a new engine. You know, a lot of different things can happen to your car when it's cold. And a lot of it has to do with the current condition of your antifreeze. And so when you go get your oil changed, you know, at a new car dealership, preferably, but maybe at a fast lube place or whatever, they should always check, especially this time of year, check your level of protection. So they take the radiator cap off and they suck out a little bit of the antifreeze, and it tells, they have a little gauge that tells them, to what degree your antifreeze is protecting your motor. If it's not low enough, then we have a hard freeze, then it could do damage to your engine. So just make sure that that's getting done. If you're going to a fast lube place or whatever, say, please test my antifreeze. I want to make sure my motor is good. And also, if your antifreeze has degraded over time and is just, you know, sometimes it'll look real rusty, like muddy water, then you need to have your system flushed. And that's something that's, it's not terribly expensive. I mean, it can cost upwards of maybe $150, something like that. But it will save your engine, and it'll prevent you from breaking down on the side of the road, especially when it's really, really cold. And your engine will love you for it. So take care of that. There are other things that you need to be aware of. You know, your car is full of different kinds of fluids, and you just need to make sure that all those are topped off. One of the most important, especially this time of year, and when it gets colder, is to make sure that you have the right type of windshield washer solvent. Now, a lot of people just put water in there, but, I mean, if you put a good quality windshield washer solvent, that's hard to say. If you put it in there, and it won't freeze, and it'll help you when you get those frosty mornings and you need to clear a little ice off your windshield or something. You know, some of these things are just minor inconveniences, but if you don't take care of them, you can have a tragedy like what happened to me. I was driving out my driveway, and I have a long driveway, and have two neighbors that live on my driveway. We share it. It's about 2,000 feet long, and so I was moving along, and I could not see out of my windshield very well. I was doing something that I shouldn't be doing, and that's kind of leaning over, and just I could have one little hole that I could see out of, and I wasn't going to get on the highway that way. I just wanted to get to the end of the driveway. Well, unfortunately, my next-door neighbor's dog had decided to lie down on the asphalt. just right there on the driveway. And as I was passing his little barn that he has, I went over what I thought was a bump and maybe a log or something. And but then I had this gut-wrenching feeling that it was not. It was an animal. So I got out of the vehicle, and there it was, and I had killed their dog. Oh, I cried. It was, black lab, older dog. I had just run right over its abdomen. I hate to even say that on the radio, but then I had to, there was nobody around. I've got my work clothes on and everything. And I said, okay, well, I got to bury this dog. I tried to get in touch with my neighbor, couldn't. I wasn't going to just leave the dog there. So I buried it and ended up finally get in touch with my neighbor, and I had to tell him what I did. And I mean, he was distraught, but understanding and appreciative of the fact that I took care of the problem. But my goodness, folks, it's not worth, trying to see out of a windshield that's it's got ice on or whatever. Let the car warm up, clear that before you go out. I learned a valuable lesson there. But also, if you have the right windshield solvent in there, then you're going to be able to clear your windshield when it fogs over, when it has a little bit of ice on it, not much. So anyway, it does make a big difference. Oh, now I'm all depressed over my dog incident. So let me gather myself here, and I'll be back in a second to talk about this generational divide and what has window tinting done to us. I'll be back in just a second. Okay, I'm back. One of the first things that my family members did when they got new cars or new used cars, which is what my kids had most of the time, the first thing they wanted to do, got to tint the windows. I said, why? It's got window tint on it from the factory. I know it's not dark enough. Do you want to just hide from people? What is it? No, it just makes the car look better. Now, my youngest child said, no, it keeps the interior cooler and keeps the fabric from fading out. Well, that's a logical reason to do it. I can go along with that. I just personally do not like riding in a car with tinted windows, deep tinted windows. And most of it's illegal anyway. I would ask Abby when she went to go. She had a Honda Accord, a used two-door Honda Accord, red. And she wanted to go get the windows tinted. I said, okay, not with my money. So she had it done with her money. And when she drove up the driveway, I was standing there. I couldn't see her anymore. She had this strip across the windshield and then really dark windows. And she opened the door and I said, boy, that's dark. Is that legal? She said, no. Well, how'd you get them to do it? I said, well, you have to sign this form. And, if you sign the form, they'll do it. Well, what's the form say? That they will not be held liable if you get pulled over for illegal tint. I said, well, that's wonderful. Wonder why they make it illegal, Abby. It's probably because you can't see out of it at night. And plus, they probably want to be able to see you, when they're cruising by, see who's driving. So anyway, I've lost that battle multiple times. But, that's one of the first things a lot of people do is go get their windows tinted. There's a whole industry built up around that. We have, in my small town, we probably have three or four different companies that do window tinting. And, I'm good. I'm fine with it if that's what you want to spend your money on. What are the reasons why people do it? Well, according to the experts, it does block UV light, which is not good for our eyes. It also helps resist fading of the interior, which I can see some value there. And it keeps the temperature down in the car. So, that's good. What I don't like about it is just at night or even during the daytime, I feel claustrophobic. All that darkness around me. I think the factory tint is enough. What's legal? Well, most of it that's installed on cars in this region is illegal tint. There are 7 states in the country that require at least a 70% light transmission. Connecticut, who cares? They require 65% transmission of light. Who's measuring this? New Mexico, though, they allow the darkest tint. They permit 20% light transmission. So, wow. I mean, that's like dark. That's nighttime in the daytime. Well, regardless of what kind of tint you put in your car, you need to have a professional do it. Because have you seen some of these amateur jobs? When you're riding behind somebody and you see that their back windshield and it's just full of bubbles, little circles all over it. Well, that's somebody who tried to put their tint on. They bought it at Walmart and decided to attempt it themselves. And, it's a lot easier to do on the side windows than it is on the rear window, especially when there's a rear window defroster. several different kinds of tint. Ceramic tint is the most expensive. I think anything that starts with the word ceramic, you know, they use paint coat, ceramic paint coatings, and they're extremely expensive. But, you know, they do different jobs. There's a carbon tint. There's a metallic window tint. There's even something called a hybrid window tint that's both metallic and it's dyed, and it makes an ideal match, apparently, and a little bit more expensive than just a regular dyed tint. So you just got to pick the right one. The name brand is important, from what I understand, and there's a gentleman across the street from our dealership that is big into tinting windows, and there's another fellow here in town. That's all he does. He tints windows. He does it on a commercial basis, too, like if somebody wants tinting done in the front windows of their office or they want to do it at their home. But most of his business is on cars, and it's mostly to Generation Z and Y. Y is, I think that's millennials, isn't it? Y? Yeah, I think so. So I was just curious what the first car was that had actually a tinted glass. And it actually happened to be a 1940 Mercury. And then there really wasn't that much of it going on. I mean, in World War II, they did a lot of the windshields and stuff like that in airplanes, and they were developing the technology. By 1958, Chevrolet came out with an option. I know this 66 Mustang that I have on the showroom floor out here, I have the window sticker on it, and the tinted windows were an option, and they were $15. Now it's standard on just about everything. 3M, you've heard of that company. In the late 60s, 3M developed, of course, Scotch tape and all that stuff. Finally, they unlocked the key to affordable and effective sun control. It involved adding metallic coatings to clear polyester film to create a sunblock that blocked a majority of the sun's UV rays and heat. So 3 years later, in 1969, it introduced a clear security film that was designed to hold broken shards of glass in place. So they started using this on a commercial basis. The energy crisis of the 1970s got a lot of really jump-started the window tint manufacturers to develop darker tints for office buildings and homes so they wouldn't use as much electricity, let the sunlight in. So later on in the decade, automobile owners began seeing the appeal of super tinted windows, and those who desired privacy began to opt for the darker tints, which would shade about 80% or greater. Again, illegal, but who cares? Nobody's enforcing it. So just like cell phone usage, you know, for a while, if you drove through a school district or you, even just going down the highway, my service manager was pulled over for using his cell phone. There was a unmarked police car pulled up right beside him, and then he noticed the car just kind of riding beside him, and he was sitting there just jabbering on his phone. Next thing he knows, lights goes off, pulls him over. "Yes, officer, what's the problem?" "You were using your cell phone." "Oh, okay, sorry." "No, it's going to be a fine. Sorry doesn't cut it anymore." "Well, apparently it does now. You don't even have to apologize. Just use your phone." I haven't seen, well, maybe the folks, police, forgive me if I'm wrong, but it doesn't seem like this is being enforced anymore. I just don't think it's a priority. It should be. Now, tinted windows is another thing. I mean, if somebody's windows are a little dark, what's the big deal? You know, maybe 80% dark, that's a big deal, especially at night. But like I say, it's a generational thing. And my daughters, if you ask them, they'll just tell you it makes, number one, it makes the vehicle look better from the outside. A debatable point. Oh, well, I'm a geezer. Okay, I'll take my last break and be back here in just a second. You know, another big thing that has really helped the plastic industry is the appeal of car wraps or body wraps. And I'm talking about the signage, you know, that a lot of companies do, and they will totally transform, you know, a utility van or whatever, and it becomes a rolling billboard. I think it's a great thing, but, you know, I guess probably 20 years ago, that technology just wouldn't last. I mean, it would fade out. I've got our parts van is a 2019 Ford Transit, and we put signage on it, And it's just amazing. It just looks as good as it did when it was brand new, when they first put it on. So they figured out how to make a lot of this stuff not fade and last. But one of the big things going on right now is just a complete car wrap. And you've seen them. It looks like an exotic paint job when, in fact, it's probably just a white van or a white truck that they've wrapped with this plastic that has signage imprinted on it. So it's not cheap. If I were to do, I got a quote to do that van, a complete body wrap, and it was about $8,000 to do it. A typical vehicle is going to wrap somewhere between $2,500 and $5,000. Let's say that you've got a paint job that's really faded, and you would really like to change the color of your car. Well, you can without painting the whole car. When you paint a car, if you actually repaint any vehicle, it really hurts the value of it. It really doesn't matter how good of a paint job it is. If you change the color especially, then you're dramatically decreasing the value of that vehicle. Most of the time when somebody change color, they do not paint underneath the hood and you know, in the trunk area and stuff, and it's a dead giveaway unless you do a complete restoration. The 65 Mustang that I'm restoring right now, you know, we stripped the entire car down, so it really didn't matter. I didn't want to paint it orange again, so I decided to paint it white. I can get by with that on a restoration. Now, if somebody looks at the color code on the door label, they'll see that it's not the color that it was, but because, you know, it's pretty and white is a more universally liked color, then I'm probably safe. But if you want to change the color of your vehicle, wrap it. I saw an individual had a vehicle in a shop in Johnson City that does this, and it was a brand new Mazda Miata, and the car was black, and they decided they didn't want a black car. They want a yellow car, so they wrapped it. Way cheaper, you know, to wrap it than to do a high-quality paint job, and it was something that wouldn't hurt the value. Once they got done with the car, if they wanted to, they could just peel all that wrap off, and there's your black car. Good as new. Now, the downside is if you paint a car, that paint job could last 15, 20 years if it was done well. If you wrap it, it's about a five-year life. So you're going to have to do it about every 5 years if you want to keep it looking good. But this is not a job for an amateur, for sure. But the advantages of a vinyl wrap are it takes less time to do than a quality paint job. Paint job process is laborious. It takes a long time to get everything prepped to do it right. And then when you get it painted, you could have issues like dirt in the paint, you know, color match issues. It's just there's so much more involved. Car wrap is so much easier. It's easy to take off. I mean, when I say easy, relatively easy, but it does come off and it won't damage your vehicle. There are some longer-lasting wraps that are available now. Some of them advertise they'll go as long as 10 years. Not so sure about that. I've never seen one that would last that long, but maybe they do. They do require less ongoing maintenance than a painted car. You can't go through a car wash anymore, though. They act as an extra layer of protection for your vehicle because it protects the original paint against scratches and dings and so forth. They can be customized. If you want to put flames on the side of your car, this is a great way to do it. What's cool is that they can print anything onto the film that you want. And, you can even make a shiny car look flat. You know, a lot of people like these flat paint looks. Matter of fact, that Miata that I was telling you about, that yellow was not shiny. It was flat. And it looked okay. I mean, it's not something that I would do, but, you know, it lets you express your own individuality. Perhaps most important, vehicle wraps are very effective. They're memorable. It's a cost-effective form of advertising. I mean, my Gateway van is a great rolling billboard for me. And whenever they're delivering parts or driving all over East Tennessee, you know, doing whatever they're doing, it is a good form of advertising. A 2019 study found that 64% of U.S. residents surveyed noticed a wrapped vehicle advertising in the last month. And 44% said they noticed it one in the last week. So it's pretty effective, and that's why you're seeing so much of it. But again, I mean, if you really want to individualize your vehicle and, you know, the paint is a color that you don't like or it's slightly faded, it just doesn't look as good, as it did. And let's say your engine and your transmission and everything's working fine and you like the car, but you just really want to change the appearance, think about a total vehicle wrap. I mean, it's not a bad idea, especially if you could find one that would last 10 years. I mean, that might outlive your desire to keep that car. And then if you wanted to peel it off at the end of that period or if sometime in between you get tired of it, you can always do that. I think it's a great option that people should think about, and one that wasn't available, you know, 10 years ago or longer. I mean, it just wasn't an option. You just had to go get your car painted. I remember there was a place in Kingsport, Tennessee, that would paint your car for like $399. And guess what you got? A $399 paint job, which isn't much when, you know, a normal paint job would cost $5,000. So they took nothing off of the car. They just started taping it, scuffed it a little bit with some Scotch-Brite, and started laying on the paint. And it wasn't high-quality paint either. How long would that paint job last? About a year. So, you know, it could make a car look really good for about 6 months. And then once it rained a couple times, it was history. So get a car wrap. You know, it may even make you look cool. And window tinting, not so bad. Probably a good thing to do if you have glaucoma or some type of eye sensitivity, or if you're just young and you want to look cool from the outside and don't want to be seen, you know, your activities on the inside. So might have been handy when I was 16 and went parking with my future wife. Don't tell her I said that. Okay, well, thanks for listening to this edition of My Car Guru, and we will see you next time.